We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Can we give God a hand real quick? Come on. Let's give God some praise this morning. I'm excited to bring the word because I feel like the word changes people. And the Bible says that his truth, which is his word, sets us free. Right? Anybody need to be set free this morning? I believe there's some people in here that are dealing with certain things that they need freedom from. And maybe you've been trying to do it on your own, but let me tell you, God's word is what's going to change you. So I'm gonna preach today. I'm talking about preach today, because I feel that God really wants to do something. So I'm gonna talk about an unpopular subject, a subject that not many people talk about, but I think as a church we need to hear it, and it's a subject that's been in my heart for the past few months. And God's been really dealing with me in this area. So I'm going to talk about idolatry this morning. We're going to talk about idolatry today. And the title of the message, if you're taking notes, which I hope you are, God loves you more if you do. I'm kidding. Please don't hold me to that. But if you're taking notes this morning, the title of the message is One God. One God. Amen. There's only one God that we're going to talk about this morning. So it's interesting. What is idolatry? Because some of you guys might be sitting here and you've been in church for a long time and you have a certain idea of what it is in the Old Testament, right? Maybe some of you guys, it's your first time at church, you haven't been in a long time, and maybe no one has ever talked to you about this. So what is idolatry? In Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. That's pretty clear on what idolatry is, isn't it? You see, God doesn't hold back. If you really have questions and you're saying, well, I just don't understand, can you get into his word and actually ask him to reveal it to you? Because too many times we get into God's word and we read it like a story rather than fact. Well, it's something that kind of happened. I don't know. They might have mixed some things up. No, those miracles actually happened. Like people came back from the dead. Come on, that's power, but we need to believe it for what it is. So God says that is idolatry, and all these things. What's interesting here is all of these things that we read about, they begin in the heart. They begin in the heart. They really start inside of us, not so much through actions, but rather inside. See, let me paint this picture to you, because many people here, we can act like we love God. We can do all the things that make it seem like we love God, but do we really love him? We can come in here every Sunday, and for the youth, we can come on Wednesdays, and we can worship. We can act like we're lifting our hands, and we're really in the middle of it, but we're singing it like it's a Nickelback song. And then we come to community groups, and we show up, and yeah, we sit down. We don't say anything, but we serve, but we act like we are doing something, but yet we're not really feeling it. We act like we have a relationship with God, but it's all superficial, and it's religion. And what I told the first service is this: too many people come into the church and they act like they love God. They get tired of acting like it, so they leave the church and they blame the church for not loving them, for not counseling them, for not encouraging them. But the fact is, you weren't putting in the effort and you were just doing an action. You weren't feeling it inside your heart. And it all begins with the heart. So write this down if you're taking notes. Idolatry is placing anything or anyone at the same level or above God in our hearts. In our hearts. It is placing anything at the same level or above, because maybe you're sitting here and you're like, well, no, I don't put anything above God. Great. If this is the same level, that is your God. Because God does not share his glory. So if you're putting anything at the same level, that is now your God, right? So I'm telling you, this is going to challenge some people. It's going to be strong, but we believe that this can set you free. It's going to hurt, but it's going to set you free. Amen? So it all begins in our hearts. See, we look at that thing or that person as the true source of our fulfillment and what truly makes us happy. That's what we feel. Well, it's that thing. It's that person. It's that whatever that is. That's what really fills me up. But what does idolatry actually look like? Because like I said, maybe you've been coming to the church for a long time. Maybe not even this church. Whatever it is, your background that you come from, right? Too many times we think of idolatry as someone who has a shrine in their closet, in their bedroom, and they're just there they're doing these rituals and whatever else. You think that's what idolatry is? Because that's what we see in the Old Testament, right? In fact, it shows it when the Israelites were liberated from Egypt and Moses was taking them into the promised land through God's guidance, right, through the cloud. You can get into it in Exodus. It's so good, I'm telling y'all. But it says that Moses went up the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. That's a long time, right? That's a long time. Imagine Pastor Chad was just like, I'm out 40 days, 40 nights. See y'all. Peace. Like, but the thing is, like, it's not like he said before he left. At least it doesn't say in the scripture, I'll be back in 40 days. It says that he just went. They had no idea when he was coming back. So it says that they got impatient. And they went to Aaron, who was Moses' brother, who was also helping Moses to liberate them from Egypt. And he said, we don't know what's come of this man, Moses. I don't know what's going on with Moses, but we need a God. So I need you, please, to make us a God. And Aaron, being Aaron, collected jewelry from them and all their gold, and he made this golden calf. But what's interesting here, guys, is that the Israelites said, they didn't say, we don't know what's come of God. They said, we don't know what's come of Moses. And that's something we need to pick up on, because too many times we rely our faith and our strength in people rather than in God. And when the people fail, we feel like God failed. And I said this first service, but we put a lot of pressure on pastors, and we have a lot of expectations for pastors to be like God, not realizing they're still human. Man, you know what I love about this church is Pastor Chad, our senior pastor, he's so vulnerable. He's so real with us, and he stands here sometimes, and I know because of the conversations that I have with him, but he stands here, and he preaches the word of God, and he encourages you, and he is vulnerable about his weaknesses as well, because it is in our weaknesses that we are made strong, and you can understand he is a human being that is called by God. But what we see here is the Israelites, they put their faith in Moses, so now that Moses was gone, they needed to build another Moses. Well, people come to church and they're like, I don't like the pastor, so I'm going to build another pastor. I'm going to go find something else that I actually like, because I feel like God's not talking to them. Even though he was, God was talking to you and challenging you. You just didn't like it. You just didn't like what God had to say. So the Israelites, they relied on Moses, and they built this golden calf. Now, of course, I'm not telling you that you're sitting here and you're making a golden calf and you're worshiping in your closet. No, what I'm saying is we have idols today as well. So what does it look like today? I want to give you guys a little bit of an illustration just because I like doing that. So Pastor Jordan and I, we love watching TV. Anybody like watching TV? You can be honest with yourself. The movie is better than the book. Can I get a no? All right. We'll talk about that after. Everybody's like, I'm out. I'm getting off. I'm gone. This pastor doesn't believe in reading. but, you know, we love watching TV and recently, we wanted to watch some, a few months back, we got this antenna. Do you guys know, like, the one that you kind of glue to the wall and it kind of picks up local channels? I didn't know about it until, like, a few months ago. And the reason we got it was because we wanted to watch the Patriots at the time and the Celtics were coming on. So we're like, we really want to watch this stuff. And I said this, you know, I don't understand what kind of mafia runs the cable network, but the fact that I pay taxes in Massachusetts and I can't get the Celtics or the Bruins on a local channel. I'm sorry, I'm not paying $150 to watch the Celtics lose. But I'm kidding. I love the Celtics. I don't love what's going on in Boston, but I'm be honest, I don't watch it enough to really criticize. But we got this thing, and of course we didn't get the channels that we wanted. Right, so the other day we're about to turn on the TV and we were gonna go into Netflix or Hulu or something, and ABC came on, and of course, one of the most popular shows that are on right now, or actually just finished, The Bachelor was on. Okay, The Bachelor, yeah, all right, amen. Someone likes it. Service, you won't like this service. So The Bachelor came on, and we don't watch it. I don't judge you if you watch it. God does, but I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. No, but we don't watch The Bachelor. It came on and it's entertaining. It's whatever. We were doing certain things. We were doing other things. I think I was working in the other room and I was listening to it. And I'm like, I don't get this. Like, I don't understand how these women, it's like 40 of them, I don't even know how many actually, but they come into this house and they're like, this one man's gonna fall in love with me. I'm gonna be the one. No, you're not, honey. Go home. You're not. No, I'm gonna be the one. And like, they're fighting for his love and her love in instances too, because they're now it's both guys and girls. But I'm listening to the show and I'm like, what is going on? What's come of our society that we find is entertaining and we think it's true? I'm like, they're sitting in the finale and this guy's sitting with now his girlfriend after he went through like 30 girlfriends at the same time. And he's sitting there like, I love this girl. Okay. All right, buddy. Sure you do. So all that to say, I do have an example on this, okay? So all that to say, you know, when it comes to, I was sitting there and I was listening to this and I started thinking because I had this message in my heart and God had been talking to me about this, but it was almost like a voice in my head was, God was like, that's you. That's you. You are that person that stands with those roses and you hand one to this person and you hand one to that thing and you hand another rose to something else and then you hand me one. So I get to stay in your life as God, but there's these other things that I have to deal with at the same time. There's these other things you've elevated to my place. And so I want to give you guys a couple of examples because I believe some people here are dealing with this today. Yes, I do have a rose. Amen. This will be in my kitchen. If you ever come over, you'll see it. It's funny. We bought this and my wife's like, can we buy more so we can keep them? I'm like, yes, honey. So one of the things that I think we have elevated to a place of God is social media. This is going to hit some people. I'm serious, guys. Like, you got to really look at your life and be like, is this me? Because it probably is. And some of the things that we've elevated is social media. Why? Because we crave attention. We crave likes. We crave shares. In fact, there's a level of dopamine that is released into our bodies the moment that we see a like come through, the moment that we see these images, the moment that we get a share, whatever it is. Why? Because we feel needed. We feel heard. We feel like there's someone being affectionate towards us, even though all of that is fake. It's fake. It's fake. If you really rely on how many likes you get to define your value, let me tell you, you will always end up broken. You will always end up feeling alone because that is all superficial, right? So the thing is, we claim social media as one of our idols, and we've elevated it to a place where now it no longer is something that we like; it's something that we need. Like, I think Pastor Chad talked about this, but nowadays there's research that shows we check our phones when nothing even vibrated. We check our phones when nothing even rang. I'm guilty of it. I'll be real with you guys. I'm sitting, I'm like, I know I got a text. No love on my phone. No love. But it's now become second nature. So social media is one of the idols that we deal with nowadays. Another idol that we deal with, and I'm trying to make this as relevant to you guys as possible because I know this is real. Sex. Oh my gosh, the youth pastor said sex. Yes, I did. You know, what's amazing is how many people get uncomfortable in church when we bring up topics that they're dealing with. And there's parents here today who I know are like, I don't want my kid listening to that in youth ministry. Well, they're going to listen to it in school. So would you rather listen to it from a biblical perspective or would you rather listen to it from a worldly perspective? Because what we're doing here is showing them the way that God said to do this. The world's like, well, just do it. It's not a big deal. But that's for you to decide. We're still going to be here. So sex is one of these things that people are dealing with. They've idolized sex to a place where now it's not, like, again, not something that was meant to be within the constraints of marriage, but now we've elevated it to a place where it's taken us outside a bit for the sake of our needs. For the sake of our needs. And now we're looking at things on the screens. Woo! Rather than the woman that you prayed for, that God's been waiting and blessed you with, and you waited for years for this woman to come into your life, but now you're looking at images on the screen that you feel are fulfilling you more than anything else. And you're seeking this thing inside of you that, well, this is natural. That ain't natural. Outside of the context of God's word, right? So we've elevated this thing, and we give it a rose, and we say, well, you can stay. You can stay. You can stay. So then another thing that we've elevated to a place of God is addictions, right? Because we say, well, I you know what I love is we've taken this context of grace, the subject of grace out of context. Because we are now abusing grace and we are accepting grace and we say, well, God's going to wash everything. So we go into sin with that mindset. Well, God's going to forgive me, so I know I can do it. Well, God's going to forgive me, so I know I can go there. God's going to forgive me, so I know I can look at that. God's going to forgive me, so I know I can cheat. God's going to forgive me, so I know I can do this and that. That's abuse of grace. That's abuse of grace. So we look at this thing, and let me tell you, I'm not being insensitive to certain things that people are dealing with today. But if you sitting here and you say, I can stop whenever I want, then stop. And if you can, you got a problem that we got to deal with, that God wants to deal with. So addiction is another thing that we've romanticized, and now we've accepted it as normal and elevated it to a place of God. Another thing is marriage. Woo! Marriage. Because we've put marriage in a place of God. And now your marriage, your husband or your wife is coming before your relationship with God. There's people every day that leave the church because their significant other doesn't have a relationship with God. So you say, well, they don't love God and God wants me to be in this marriage. God wants me to serve my husband or my wife, so I got to go too. I got to be wherever they're at. But can I tell you, that's just going to lead to divorce. Woo, that's such a strong word. But it's a word that, in fact, is so common in today's generation because we don't talk about it enough. We act like, well, it's just someone else. I mean, it says 50% of marriages don't last. But the reason they don't last is because people are so willing to put marriage, to walk away from God for the sake of trying to fix marriage. You know that thing that that really ruined marriages a lot of times is fear? It's fear. People are trying so hard not to mess up. They take it into their own hands and they keep God away from it. Well, no, God's not going to fix my marriage. I got to fix my marriage. And these statistics are very true. They are, but not by your means, by God's means, are you going to be part of the right 50%. You got to involve God. It's not just you, but we've elevated marriage to a place of now, well, they come before God. Because I don't want to be part of the wrong 50%. Right? So marriage is one of the things. And by the way, I just want you guys to know, because I know there's some people here that are way older than me. I'm not trying to be offensive, believe me, but that are older than me. And maybe you've been in marriage a lot longer than me. But I believe that God speaks his word and his word is true. So I'm not here speaking out of experience. I'm speaking in God's word. Okay, just so you guys know. I'm not trying to give you a class in relationship. Trust me, I got a lot to learn too. But I'm speaking God's word. So another thing is kids. Once again, I don't have kids. But it's based on what I see because I do pastor youth who I have conversations with. And a lot of times is we've put kids in a pedestal and we've put them in a place of our gods and we're wondering why they're asking us to serve them. Woo. Why you have expectations? I'm the parent. You're the kid. You're telling me I need to do that? Right, but you put them in a place where they're God and gods will act like gods. But how can they expect that of me? Well, you made church an option. You made church an option. I laugh because I remember getting dragged to church growing up. I remember that. I'm glad I did. I'm gonna tell you, I'm glad I did. I really am glad I did. So we put kids in a place of our God now. And then, I grew up in the church. It's something that I've been around my whole life. So I guess God, I guess you get a rose too. Right? Well, God, Yeah, I know that you've got me through some things. We sing that song, Do It Again. God, I know you've got me through some things in the past. So, yeah, you get a rose too. You get to stay. You get to be a part of my gods. You get to be a part of my gods. So this is the picture of what we have today. This is what idolatry looks like today. There's a difference between resources and sources. There's an even bigger difference between resources and the source of our fulfillment. Right? See, the fact is we will never be filled through the resource, but we will always find fulfillment in the source. I love the story of the woman at the well, this Samaritan woman. It says that Jesus walks up to this well, and I know some people know this story. If you don't, listen. So Jesus walks up to this Samaritan woman, and he says, can you give me some water? And she's like, what you mean? You're not supposed to be talking to me. We don't get along, Samaritans and Jews. We don't talk. And he's like, if you knew who I was, you would ask me for some water, girl. You would ask me for some water. And she goes, well, what do you mean I would ask you for some water? You don't even have a bucket to get water. And he goes, I'm not talking about that water that doesn't actually fill you up. I'm talking about the everlasting living water that comes from me. So if you knew who I was, you would ask me for that water. You would ask me for that water. And of course, she, This is crazy, but we can read in John chapter 4, verse 13, it says, Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. Everyone who follows these gods will be thirsty again, because that's not going to fill you up. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. So we're seeking fulfillment in things that are only temporary, in things that God used as a resource of his love. Right, I look at my marriage and I know that my marriage is not the source of my happiness. My marriage is a vessel that God is using to speak his love into my life. Yeah. Same thing with your kids. Can I tell you, your kids are not your kids. They're God's kids. Yeah. Ooh, that's challenging for some people to hear, because I know that you've raised them, but God has entrusted you with them. And if you feel right now, and this is apart from my message, but if you're feeling right now like you don't have what it takes to be a parent, let me tell you, God chose you to be their parent. God chose you to be their parent. They were his idea, not yours. His idea. So essentially, God is competing for our attention, our affection, and our love when we involve all these gods in our lives. And that, my friends, is a problem. That's a problem. So I believe God is going to challenge some people here today to work on these idols that we have built to break them down. Amen. So number one, how do we overcome this problem of idolatry? Number one, we identify the idols. We identify the idols. What are those areas in your life that you have elevated to a place of God? You know, I was thinking the other day, we were driving through Sears Road, my wife and a couple of our family, and we were driving through Sears Road in South Road. Anybody been there? Sears Road in South Road. If you're not from the area, take a drive. It's really nice. And basically, there's a bunch of mansions around the area. It's amazing. I think there's like a sheik that lives somewhere there. There's a palace. I mean, it's crazy stuff that you're just like, how is this here? How long did this take to build? So you're driving through these houses, and I love that people drive like 10 miles an hour. Imagine living in one of these houses. Like, what creeps are driving through right now? Just staring into my house. They got like 10-foot tall windows. I'm like, please get some privacy, you know? But we were driving through it, and I was thinking, because I remember years ago when we used to drive through these neighborhoods in Southborough, I used to look at that and be like, I want that so bad. I need that. I used to crave that. I was like, my gosh, like if I could just have that. And it was just me. I was like, I want that for me. Like, I want that so bad. Like, I would do absolutely anything to just get to that place. And I was thinking a couple of days ago when we were driving through there, I was like, why was I thinking that way? And then it popped into my head that when my family and I came into this country, we had 3 suitcases and 1 month's worth of rent. We had nothing. I remember eating ramen noodles 3 weeks in a row. I remember looking at my parents arguing because we had nothing. I remember my father used to walk 3 miles in the middle of the snowstorm. He would never miss work. Walk 3 miles in the middle of a snowstorm after taking an hour and a half train ride to his job and get paid. My dad used to get picked up at 7-Eleven and get paid $3 an hour. But I remember being there and seeing that. And where God has put me now, and I think about that, and I'm like, the reason I was craving success was because I didn't have it. I had the opposite. I had nothing. And I had to deal with that in the mindset at the time, and I believe God has worked in my heart, because there's too many people here that are craving these idols, and you have these idols that you've built up in your life because there was a lack of them at one point in your life. There's people here that have dealt with sexual abuse growing up, and now you have a sexual addiction, and you wonder why. Because what once had control of you, you want to have control over. What once was taken advantage of you, you want to take advantage of. So we need to identify these areas in our lives that are causing us to build these idols. Because again, the idol is just the production, what actually comes out of this problem, this brokenness that we're dealing with inside. And God wants to speak to that problem, not to the idol. God wants to speak to that issue, that brokenness inside of you. God wants to heal that, right? So write this down. Your idols have backstories. Your idols, they have backstories. See, we have to identify those areas of pain and brokenness. In Psalm 139, verse 23, it says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We need to allow God to heal the broken areas inside of us to overcome these idols. Amen. So number one, we identify the idols. Number two, we need to prioritize. We need to prioritize. See, our idea of priorities is really broken. Now, there's nothing wrong with loving your kids. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be successful and wanting to bless your family and have a good job. And there's nothing wrong with loving your husband or your wife. There's nothing wrong with that. It becomes a problem when it's no longer love. It's now dependency. And you, well, I love them so much, but now it's no longer I love them. Now it's I depend on them. I depend on them. And that's where my happiness comes from. That's where my joy comes from. So when you get into an argument, you are miserable with every other area of your life because that's not right. You get into an argument in the parking lot with your husband or your wife and you walk in here. Now you can't worship God because you're so focused on that idol that you can't worship your God. Same thing goes for everything else, right? There's nothing wrong with loving what God has blessed you with. It's a problem when now you depend on it for your happiness. In Isaiah 42, verse 8, it says, I am the Lord, and that is my name. That is so good right there. That's a whole series. I am the Lord, period. The Lord. Not a Lord. I am the Lord. That is my name. And I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. He is not going to yield. He's not going to put up with it. You're wondering why certain areas of your life are not working out that you have idolized? God's not having it. God is not having it. Until you put them in their place and God in his place, you're going to continue to have a problem. Right? So we need to really prioritize. You see, because a lot of times we think it's like this, right? We have these things here. We have these gods that we've built up. And we think, well, it is God. Right? God goes first, Pastor Marco. I know that. I learned that in grade school. I learned that in Sunday school. And then my kids and then my marriage. And then, well, I don't really deal with this, but then sex and then social media and then other things. And that's how it works, Pastor Marco. That is how it is. I know I have God first. I have God first, I promise. But then it's God and then my family, and then there needs to be a bigger gap. So it's not so much God, your family, your kids, and all everything else. No, no. It is God. And then everything else. It's God first. Space, 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 space. Enter, 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 enter. And then everything else. There needs to be a priority in your life that is way above everything else. The problem is we feel like, well, yeah, God, yeah, he is number one. But then my marriage is like, it's kind of like, it's right there. And then my kids are like right there. And then when there's a problem with that, there's a problem with this. If there's not a big enough gap, you're always going to have problems with your idols. There has to be a gap. Otherwise, you have elevated them too high. There can't be a dependency. There cannot be a dependency. Because let me tell you, if there's a dependency on your husband or your wife or your kids, if something was to happen, where would you stand? Where is your foundation? Because my foundation is found in God and God alone. So no matter what happens outside of that, I will not fall. Because I know God's got me. I know God's got me. Right? So we need to prioritize. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Seeking God is our first and most important priority. You know, I tell people all the time, they say, well, I need a job. Well, great, pray. Like, what? I need a job. Okay, well, good. Worship God and then go start applying for jobs. Why? Because if you're not putting God in his place first, the Bible says seek him first. If you're looking for a job right now, seek God first. And let me tell you, he will point you in the right direction. Otherwise, you won't realize, but you're going to do things on your terms. You're like, I got a job in a week. Great. If you waited 2 weeks, you would have had a $20,000 raise. But you didn't give God his praise first. Therefore, he couldn't point you in the right direction. It's not on your time, it's on his time. Same thing with relationships. Oh, I love this. I just want somebody that I can love. I just want a boyfriend. I just want a girlfriend. I just want to be married, Pastor Mark. I want to make a family. Great. But if you don't look for God first, you're going to settle for the first thing that comes into your life, and they're going to pull you further and further away from God. You're like, well, I'm happy. I'm in a relationship. Right, but where's God? Where's God in the relationship? Where's God in the mix? Because the moment that we take it upon ourselves and we don't seek God first, we fill our desires, not God's desires. And the Bible says a man may make their plans, but God directs their steps. I want God to direct my steps. God, I have a plan. You know my desires. You know what I want, Lord, but I pray you take me where you want me to be. Not where I want to be, where you want me to be. Oftentimes where you want to be is far from God, because that's your flesh. That's your flesh. So our decisions, if we don't seek God first, we can't get our perspective straight. So let's seek God first. Write this down if you're taking notes. Seeking God first allows our hearts to be prepared for the blessing. Amen? Now, number three, if we want to overcome this, we need to be intentional. When it comes to seeking God, we must be intentional. We say, well, I'm going to read my Bible in the morning. Great, but then you're running late for work. Well, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to speak to God before I go to bed. Great, but then you fall asleep. Come on, somebody. We've all been there. Come on. I know I've been reading my Bible before, and I wake up with the Bible on my chest. Right? And we've all been there. And we say, well, I'm going to worship God at church on Sunday. Great, but then you show up late, and you barely make it to the service. So we don't have our priorities straight, and we're not making time for God. We're not being intentional. If you get into this mindset of, well, it'll just happen when it happens, it's never going to happen. Right? I remember Pastor Jordan and I, we made a decision a few months ago. We say Tuesday nights is going to be our night, because our life is all over the place. And yes, there's been weeks where it didn't work out, but we said Tuesday night is our night, meaning I'm not going to answer any texts. I'm not going to answer any calls. I don't want to go any. I just want to spend time with you. Why? Because I need to be intentional if I want to invest into my marriage. And yet we're more intentional with our marriage, not intentional with God. And we say, well, God, yeah. You know what I love is we want to be fluid. And I don't really know what I'm doing here, but it's like we want to be fluid. Yeah, like my relationship with God is just, it's fluid. Like he goes where I go, yeah, because that's what the Bible says, right? But then when was the last time that you said, God, how are you doing? God, I need you. God, I love you. God, you are so good. God, I honor you. When was the last time you actually talked to God, not just was fluid with God? I don't know what this is. When was the last time you actually were intentional about your relationship with God, about talking to God, about honoring God, about speaking to others about God? When did you take time out of your precious day to have a relationship with God? Nothing's going to grow if you don't invest into it first. So we need to invest into our relationship with God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5:15, I love this. Look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. You can't plan your life. Life is unpredictable, but you can be intentional about spending time with God today. Today, right? If you're taking notes, if we are not intentional about our relationship with God, our relationship will not grow. It will not grow. You know, most recently, a few months ago, the reason why I'm really speaking about this is this has been a topic in my heart. A few months ago, I was going through a season where I felt stuck, right? I felt like I wasn't really growing in my relationship with God. I just felt like I was stagnant. And some of you guys know this. I love going to the gym. I love working out. I just love being active. And one of the things that happened about a couple months ago around this time where I was feeling stuck was I developed this lump in the back of my head. And I've been healed. Praise God for that. But at the time, I developed this thing, and doctors can't figure out what it is. Doctors, they have no idea what it is, and I'm going to doctor. I'm spending all this money, and they have no idea what it is. So I said, you know what? I'm going to stop going to the gym. I would wake up at 5 in the morning. I would make time for the gym before I made time for God. I would wake up at 5 in the morning and go to the gym. And then I'm like, all right, God, if I have time, I'll do everything else. And you know what? The most dangerous place a pastor can be is a place where they're only talking to God when they need to prepare for a sermon. I'm being vulnerable with you guys because I know that I've been there. But this was such a hit into my faith because I understood, God, I need to make time for you. So I said, instead of going to the gym, I know I can't go right now. I don't know what's going on with me. I'm going to be intentional, still wake up at 5 in the morning. But I'm going to read the word of God instead. And I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to worship before my wife even gets out. I'm just going to meet me and God. And that's it. That's our time, God. I know that I'm going to spend time with you. I know I'm going to be fluid with you the rest of the day, but this right now, you are the only thing that matters right now, God. I'm going to make time for you, just me and you. Nobody else, just me and you. And let me tell you, I've never felt closer to God in my life because I began to be intentional about my relationship with him. Now I've been healed from this. I can't go back to the gym. I'm like, nah, I'm good. This is too good. This is too good. This is actually filling me. I'm not going to the well anymore because I found the water, the living water. Amen. So, and then lastly, if you're taking notes, find accountability. Amen. Find accountability. We need accountability in our lives. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. It says what? Someone. Doesn't say a group of people. It says one. Someone to devour. We are vulnerable in isolation. You think of a lion going after like a deer or something. I don't know, a deer? Is that what they hunt? I have no idea. I don't watch Discovery Channel. but you see they go after the one that's isolated. Same thing with the enemy. You isolate yourself, let me tell you, you're going to be more prone to attacks from the enemy. You think, well, no, God's got me right, but God's put people around you to encourage you, to build you, to challenge you for a reason. So don't isolate yourself. I love this example in King David, right? It says that King David, there was a season when he was supposed to go to war with everyone else, with the Israelites, right? He was supposed to go to war with them, and instead he decided to stay back. And while he was staying back by himself, he saw this woman showering, fell into temptation and had sex with her. And then he later found out that woman was married to a man that was fighting in the war he was supposed to be in. Wow. That'll make good TV. I'll tell you right now. But that actually happened. And why? Because King David was isolated. King David was by himself. He fell to temptation because he had no one to hold him accountable. And you're dealing with these idols and you're wondering why? Because you haven't opened up about them. If you opened up to somebody, my gosh, the things that God can do through accountability. In James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Write this down. We must be honest about our weakness if we truly want to be healed. If we truly want to be healed. I would rather be vulnerable with my brother or my sister in Christ than stand vulnerable before the enemy. I would rather be honest with somebody. You know, we had our revolver tree at the beginning of this year, and I remember we were able to pray, Pastor Jordan and I, we pray for these young adults and the things that they're dealing with. And as soon as we finished praying, I said, girl, turn around. I got to pray with you. You got to pray for me. There's these things I'm dealing with, and that opened up to her. She opened up to me. And let me tell you, that vulnerability gave access to healing. It gave access to healing. So we got to be vulnerable with each other. There is power in unity, but it all starts with joining the family of believers. So come on, let's close our eyes and bow our heads.
We hope you have enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.